there are moments in life when you know what you should do, and yet you wish that you could come up with an excuse to do anything but. Earlier this fall, I was attending a conference. Two of us had carpooled together and had a wonderful ride filled with conversation. It was delightful. The ride home promised to be the same. That is, until a woman I vaguely knew leaned over during one of the sessions and said, "Could I catch a ride home?" I knew exactly what I should do, and yet I took a breath, trying to come up with any excuse possible to be able to say no. You see, here's the thing. The conference was at Princeton Seminary in New Jersey. It was scheduled to end at exactly 3:30 on a Friday afternoon, which would allow us the opportunity to catch rush hour in multiple states on what would surely be a long, long, long drive home. After the session, when I still hadn't quite come up with an answer to her question, my carpool buddy said to me, "So you know what we're gonna say, right?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And she said, "We're gonna say yes." And I said, "Oh." Yep, we are. When I think about Thanksgiving gatherings with family and friends, I feel like these two car ride scenarios, they kind of sum up your choices, right? They are either carefree, easy, comfy, cozy kind of gatherings where you can just be yourself and have a good time, or they are gatherings that leave you wishing you were sitting on I-95 on the holiday weekend at rush hour. They are those awkward meals that make you think that maybe you should have scheduled your root canal for Thanksgiving Day. And while, of course, these two examples may be the extreme, there's a lot of in-between, too. I think most of us can probably think back to a holiday or two when we've been in both scenarios. Whether it's a car ride home from a conference or a place at the Thanksgiving table, our shared faith calls us to practice hospitality. More than just being good people when it's convenient for us, our traditions call us to unexpected hospitality. Hospitality in moments when it really doesn't fit with our schedules, and with people who we'd rather not spend time with. This is the kind of hospitality that our religions teach us. As I was studying, I was doing a little bit of research about our two faith traditions and what they teach about hospitality. I came across a wonderful story from Jewish Midrash about Abraham, who's remembered as the master of hospitality. As the story goes, Abraham invited a stranger to a meal, and after eating, Abraham invited him to join him in thanking God. The man refused. "All my life I have worshipped my idols, and that's been good enough for me." Abraham grew angry and threw the man out of his tent. That night, God appeared to Abraham in a dream and said, "I have put up with this man denying me for 60 years. Can't you put up with him for a single night?" Abraham woke up, ran off into the wilderness, found the man, and invited him back into his tent to have shelter for the night. You see, both of our faith traditions, they understand God's welcome to be vast and all-encompassing. And maybe that's one of the hardest things that our traditions call us to practice as Jews and Christians, is a vast and all-encompassing welcome in our own lives. Luckily for us, this Thanksgiving holiday will offer us a few opportunities to practice. And really, couldn't we all use more practice of this kind of hospitality in our day-to-day lives? Maybe it will be the boyfriend, girlfriend, roommate, spouse, fill in the blank of one of your guests who is joining your table for the first time. It could be that aunt or uncle who you look at and wonder, how can we possibly be related? Or who's related to your spouse who you look at and go, thank goodness we aren't related. Maybe it's the neighbor who has no place to go, the friend who talks too much every time they come over, or the teenager, or let's face it, the adult, who just wants to sit in the corner with their electronic device. I have no doubt that there will be an opportunity for you this holiday weekend to go out of your way to practice this unexpected hospitality to which our faith calls us, to engage with someone who you would rather not engage. And I challenge you to look for that opportunity and to act on it. The car ride companion my traveling friend and I picked up at the conference, well, that ride was 6 hours long. As we drove through Baltimore, one of the three of us in the car remarked, well, we've already talked about both religion and politics. What else can we tackle? The religion part probably wasn't too surprising. After all, we'd just been at a conference about the church. The politics discussion, well, it was respectful, and it took up most of the state of Delaware and half of Maryland. And the next time that we see each other, I expect this vaguely familiar now friend and I to embrace with a big hug and laugh about that car trip we took down 95 after the conference. It wasn't the car ride I wanted, but it was the car ride I needed to have. And as you think about your Thanksgiving, I encourage you to challenge yourself to think about the Thanksgiving, not that you want to have, or maybe even that you've planned to have, but the Thanksgiving that you need to have this year. Here's the thing. The heart of our Thanksgiving tradition is a relationship between the settlers and the Native Americans, and we know that that relationship was far from picture perfect. But there was a time after the harvest of 1621 that those two groups of people who didn't always share a lot in common got together for a meal. That what they shared in common became a stronger bond than that which they did not. And the Thanksgiving holiday that we know traces back to Abraham Lincoln, who proclaimed it to be in the midst of the Civil War when literally brothers were fighting brothers. And you can imagine how awkward those Thanksgiving tables might have been too. And yet, unexpected hospitality from the very beginning throughout the generations has been what this holiday is about. Our religious beliefs call us to this practice, and as Americans, our country calls us to it as well. And maybe more than ever, what our country and our community needs this year is more examples of unexpected hospitality and more people who are willing to go out of their way to practice it. We need more practice at this. We need more conversations and finding of common ground among unlikely people. In the midst of the heartaches, the struggles, the acts of hate and violence in our world, our two congregations can stand together. We will stand together, and we will practice this unexpected hospitality of our faith as a model of the world in which we hope to live. May our Thanksgiving tables, filled with all their diversity of people, opinions, and the religions that they represent, create spaces in our hearts and our communities for the practice of sharing and receiving unexpected hospitality. Think back this holiday on Abraham, the master of hospitality. Recall the first settlers and the Native Americans. Imagine the families gathered around the table on that first Thanksgiving in the 1600s. Draw strength from a long tradition of those who have gone before us, practicing unexpected hospitality so that we too might teach it to the generations who will come after us. May your Thanksgiving celebrations this year be not just the ones that you want or that you planned, but the ones that you most need to have. Amen.